The last couple of shiurim, we've been really focusing upon the Baalei Mesorah, individuals who are called upon to preserve Mesorah, to preserve the Psak Halacha. The Rabbanim, the Poskim, we spoke a little bit about what some of the criteria are necessary in order for a person to qualify to be a Posek. I want to speak a little bit now about the specific bond of relationship. It's not part of the relationship day. Rabbi Shechter talked a little bit about it this morning, but I want to talk about it probably from a different angle. The relationship of Rebbe and Talmud, particularly as how it relates to Psak Halacha. I mean, what is the role exactly of a Talmud during the lifetime of the Rebbe, in the presence of a Rebbe? When does a person become considered to be someone who is fit to Paskin Shilas? When is he still supposed to play the role of a Talmud, not bring about the Paskin Shilas? Issues that are of critical importance in Bizman Hazeh, in terms of what point do we say that a person is Higia Tahara in the presence of his Rebbe. So the Gemara speaks about a very basic iser, what's called Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabba. The Gemara Maseches Erevin is the primary sugya in the presence of other places. Speaks about the severity of Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabba, the person passing the Shaila in the presence of his Rebbe. The Gemara even uses a very, very strong Lashon, that a Meira Halacha Bifnei Rabba is Chayav Misa. What is the source for that statement? It doesn't mean Misa's Beis, it doesn't mean the Beis then kills, but Chayav Skila. But it's in a sense Chayav Misa B'dei Shemayim. I don't know what's the source of that idea. So the Gemara tells us that one of the chatoim, at least one of the interpretations of the chait of the Bnei Aaron of Nadav and Avihu, was that they were Mora Halach B'fnei Moshe Rabbam. Now, if you look at the Pesukim of Parsha Shmini, it's one of the mysteries of Chumash, is that it's very hard to identify what exactly went wrong. You know, Nadav and Avihu did something, they were Makar Vesh Zara L'fnei Hashem, and we can't exactly pinpoint what exactly happened there. What exactly was the terrible chait? Hashem didn't command them, okay? I didn't command them, but to say that Yichayev Misa B'Shemayim for that, so what's that all about? So the Gemara in Maseches Erevin is searching for different interpretations as to what exactly went wrong. What did the Bnei Aaron really do that was ultimately wrong? So at least one interpretation of the Gemara is that they brought an Eish on the Mizbeach, and they did it based on their own assessment. They didn't ask their Rebbe. Who was their Rebbe? Of course, Moshe Rabbeinu. So it was an act of chutzpah. It was a terrible decision that they made, that they did something, even though what they did may have been intrinsically correct, may have even been mutter, may have even been a mitzvah, the Gemara says. But Afa Bichain, it was in the presence of Moshe Rabbeinu, and they should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu's permission. So the Gemara speaks very, very harshly in terms of individuals who are Meir Halacha B'fnei Rabbam. It's interesting that a similar type of situation arose a little bit later on in Jewish history with another of the Bnei Aaron, with Elazar HaKohen, that in Parshas Matos, we just read about a couple of weeks ago, that in Parshas Matos, a whole shali came up about kashering the kalim that they offered from, that they won in the war from the Midian. So the halachas of what to do with the kalim were not said by Moshe Rabbeinu, they were said by Elazar. And the difference is that Elazar says, oh, v'zos ha-torah she'atziv ha-shem es Moshe. He attributed the psak to Moshe Rabbeinu. He said that I'm not pasking Hashayla, I'm just telling you Moshe right now, I can't answer the question, but I'm telling you what he said. This is exactly what Moshe said verbatim, so that's okay. But Nadav and Avihu, they misrepresented, they pasked on behalf of themselves, in the presence of the Rebbe, that was a serious problem. Why is it that Meir Halacha B'fnei Rabba was such a serious problem? What exactly is the nature of this halacha? So it would appear from the Gemara and Maseches Ksubis, and the prayer of the Gemara speaks to that a little bit about this, but there are really two distinct problems of Meir Halacha B'fnei Rabba. One is a bizayin of Talmid Chacham, a bizayin of a Rebbe, and here somebody comes, asks a Shaila, so my Rebbe's standing right there, and I say to the guy, in effect, I'm answering his question. Basically what I'm saying is that, listen, don't bother asking the Rebbe, I know I'm a bigger Talmid Chacham than the Rebbe, you don't have to bother the Rebbe, I can help you. So that's an act of chutzpah, that's an act of bizayin to the Talmid Chacham. That's the first reason. But the Gemara in Ksuba says there's another reason as well. There's a secondary reason, and that is that in order for a person to be successful in pasking a shayla, so one requires siyata d'shmaya. We spoke a little bit about this the other day in terms of Rav Moshe's Kedomos v'Shuvos. Rav Moshe writes that a rav has to put in all his effort, and then he has to hope for the best. So hoping for the best is that a rav gets siyata d'shmaya, because Baruch Hu will enable him to pask him in the correct fashion. a person who paskins, not in the person who paskins, depends on the Rebbe, the Gemara says, is not going to be ensured that's the after the Shemaya. And therefore, it's quite possible the person is going to make a mistake. The Gemara tells a story, but Abaye one time paskined in the presence of his Rebbe, and Abaye said it was a very, very easy Shaila. It was Mamasha, it was a nothing Shaila. And he goofed. He made a mistake. The Gemara says, Lo istaya milsa, he didn't receive the prophecy after the Shemaya to answer the question properly. So there are two different issues involved in passing in the presence of a person's Rebbe. Number one, it's a chisaron of kavata mechachavim. And number two, it's something which undermines the very validity of the psak in the first place. So the chayru can raise a shayla, my nafkamina, what the reason is. Nice, at the end of the day, it's also, who cares what the reason is. So let's say I would tell you the only reason is because it's a bizayin of tam chacham. So wouldn't that be sufficient? What do we gain by the second reason? And the idea is, what's the significance of adding on a second reason? The chayru, the first reason is sufficient reason enough not to pass it. Any ideas?
So even if he's a bigger tam chacham than his Rebbe, perhaps if he
passes
in front of his Rebbe, he won't have
Siyas Vishmael. Okay, maybe that's also but again, I'm looking for a case where the first reason may not apply, but the second reason does apply. Oh, comes Taisus from Subis and says, wait a second, Chapanaf Kibin Ladina, what are the Rebbe's Moichel? The Rebbe says, listen, I don't have my Moichel, do me a favor. I don't want to be bothered with all the Shailas. Do me a favor. I'm Moichel on my cover. You answer the Shailas. So what's the rule, Rabbi Say? Can a Rebbe be Moichel on his cover? What's the name? Who's it to keep Rav Emshir this morning? So a parent can be Moichel. Ab Shemach Makvel de Kvot Moichel. What about a Rebbe? Can a Tamachach or a Rebbe be Moichel on his cover? So it's Machlekes Nigamah. So one day in the Gemara says that a Av Shemachla Kvodo, yes Kvodo Machol, but a Rav Shemachla Kvodo, in Kvodo Machol. And the other day in the Gemara says, no, a Rav Shemachla Kvodo, Kvodo Machol also. What's the Machlekes? What do you think the Machlekes should be totally on? Can a Rebbe be Machol in his cover? That I ask you, along this, what's the beer in the Machlekes Amarayim, whether a Rebbe can be Machol? What do you think? When does it make sense someone can be Machol on something? If I bought $100 from you, right? So you could be Michael at $100. What if I bought $100 from Reuven? Can you be Michael at $100? Obviously not. Why? What's the answer? What do you mean Michael? What do you have to be? You have to be the Bailam. You have to be the guy in charge. If you're not the guy in charge, then you're Michael. Who are you to be Michael? You can be Michael somebody else's Yam's Chayef. You can only be Michael your own Chayef, somebody that's coming to you. So the Gemara seems to have a really fundamental question, which really is goes to the root of the relationship between a Talmud and a Rebbe. What's the nature of the halacha that a Talmud has to be mechaber his Rebbe? What's the nature of the halacha of kavod to mechaber in general? Is pshat that I owe the kavod to the person as a person? Person learned, he earned it, so now I owe kavod to such a person. Or they say, no, it's not a personal kavod that I owe to him. Who's it a kavod to?
It's
kavod of Torah. It's kavod of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So who is the Baal HaKavod in kavod Tamid Chachamim? Is the Baal HaKavod the Rebbe? Or is the Baal HaKavod the Torah itself, the Rebbeinu Shalom? Nafkamin Rodina, whether we can be Michael. If you hold that the Baal HaKavod is the person himself, then he's a Baal to be Michael. It's his Chav. If the Baal HaKavod is the Torah and the Rebbeinu Shalom, then he's not a Baal to be Michael. So how do I know that my Pshat in the Gemara is correct? Tahayana. Because the Gemara says in Masechet Kedushin that even though there's a machloikis whether a Rav shemachol kved kved machol or not, everybody agrees that a Melech shemachol kved and kved machol. King David Melech would be Meichel. Say Shaul was Meichel on his kavod. So the Gemara criticizes him that a Melech shemachol kved and kved machol. Why is that? What's the lumbus behind that? So the answer is obvious. Why do I owe kavod to a Melech? Did he do anything great to Melech? He was born into the job. He didn't do anything. Why is a Melech warrant kavod? The Rebbeinu Shalom said so. Hamal mich malachim la melucha. The Rebbeinu Shalom said, the malachim beis David, they're the malachim. The Rebbeinu Shalom gave him melucha, gave him malchus. So I have to show kavod not to him as an individual. I have to show kavod to the institution of malchus. I have to show kavod to the melech machia malachim who appointed him as the melech. But it's not a kavod to the person as an individual. There's an interesting, fascinating statement that was once said by a man didn't go down exactly as a hero in Jewish history, Benjamin Disraeli. You don't know who he was?
Yeah.
Who's Benjamin Disraeli? He's
Prime Minister of
Prime Minister in England, the 1800s, right? So Benjamin Disraeli was Jewish. But he was not a practicing Jew. He had any stretch of imagination. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think his family, it wasn't him. I think his parents or grandparents already had converted to Christianity. So he was b'chlal, not no shaykhus, anything Jewish, but he was still biologically, halachically, he was still Jewish. So Benjamin Disraeli apparently the practice was, when he was the prime minister, so he would walk into the parliament every day, he would bow down to the chair before he sat down. He would bow down and he would sit down in the chair. So people used to joke with him, they asked him, what are you doing, Mr. Disraeli? What are you bowing down to the chair for? So he said that I want to demonstrate that I'm bowing down to the office of the prime minister, not the individual. I'm the prime minister myself.
Shalom.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. אני כל זמן אני לא, יכול להיות שיש שיעור אחרי זה. זה יכול להיות, אוקיי, בסדר.
תגיד לו שמינה,
הם מצלוננים. בסדר, הם צודקים, הם צודקים.
לא נעלים פה, לא מכבים פה את
ה... הם צודקים, אוקיי, אנחנו כל זמן, הם יכולים להעיר, אנחנו כל זמן, אנחנו עולים, אבל אני אמסור את המוזר.
לא, הוא עומד בלילה, הוא מגיע ב-12 בלילה.
יכול להיות, כי יש שיעור, יכול להיות שיש שיעור אחרי זה, אוקיי.
תגיד לזה שאתה מראה את המקום.
אוקיי, בסדר, אוקיי, שכח, אוקיי, תודה. So back to Benjamin Disraeli. So Benjamin Disraeli would bow down to his chair. He said, I want to demonstrate that I'm bowing down to the institution of the prime minister, not to the person. He said he knew his own faults. He knew he wasn't perfect. Benjamin Disraeli wasn't claiming that he was God. But he said, I'm bowing down to the institution of the prime minister. So that's what the Gemara Kedushin says, Mamash about a Melech also. That the Melech is due kavod, not because he's a person, not because he's a great person. He's due kavod because... He's due kavod because he's sitting on the throne of Klal Yisrael. So you see from the Gemara, from the contrast between the Talmid Chacham, who it could be we passed in Malach the Rav Shemach Kavod, yes Kavod Machol, but a Malach Shemach Kavod ain't Kavod Machol. This is the distinction that the kavod that's due to a Talmid Chacham is basically due to him. Why is it due to him? He learned it here in the Torah. The Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Ki b'saras Hashem chepzo, u'b'saras yegei yom b'layla. The person learns the Torah of Hashem, and that becomes his Torah. So he's the one who's due to the covenant. But, get back to the story. So comes Tyson Ksubas and says, the Rebbe is meichel on his kavod. If the whole reason why you're not allowed to pass the Mishnah in the presence of your Rebbe is because of kavod of a Rav, then the whole din should apply. Pot says Taisus, there's an additional dimension to the Isser. The additional dimension is that we want the guy to paskin correctly. So if you don't paskin, depends of your Rebbe, you may not have Siyat Dishmaya. So whether it's a Bizoin or not a Bizoin, a Chutzpah, not a Chutzpah, if you're not going to paskin correctly, you're not allowed to paskin correctly. If I know I may make a mistake, you're not allowed to answer a Shail if you don't know that you know the answer. So comes Taisus and says, even if the Rebbe's Meichel, it's still also to be Meir Allah B'Fir Rav. I can't give you a Taisus excuse. So the Rashba disagrees with Taisus. The Rashba holds that Pashas and Rashba is when the Gemara says that if a person paskin shalom b'fnei rabo, he's not going to have siyata d'shmaya. Why is that? Why is he not going to have siyata d'shmaya? Why do you think? Says the Rashba, because he didn't have aveira of being a mechutzof, because he didn't have aveira of being a vaza, his rabbi. The Rashba was not going to do many titles, not going to have any siyata d'shmaya. Says the Rashba, siyata d'shmaya, making a mistake in psak is not an independent reason. The making mistake in psak is novea. It stems from the bizayin of Chacham. So if the Rav is meichel in his cup, he doesn't care that he's more than willing to let you paskin, then you're allowed to paskin. That's not a problem. So major machlek is how we shine machlek is paskin malach. What's the din? Can a Rebbe be meichel in his cup or not? Can that? Does the mechil of the Rav necessarily translate to mean that it's totally permissible to pass the Shail even if they rabbi? So machlek is a paskin malach. Let's go one step further in terms of analyzing this issue of paskin and shayls in the presence of one's rabbi. When we speak about the term rabbi, we use the term of Rav. What does rabbi mean? How do you define a rabbi? Who constitutes a rabbi? Do you have any ideas? How do you define properly the term Talmud or a Rebbe? I was in a guy Shia, I was in a Rabbi Shia for a week. I came one day to a Chabura, and then I switched with him a Chabura, so I'm a Talmud. Well, so comes the Gemara in Ilam Metzias, the end of the Sefer Ilam Metzias, it tells us that there are fundamentally two different types of Rabbeim, and two different types of Talmudim. There's a Rabbi Muvok, and a Rabbi She'ena Muvok. A Rabbi Muvok means someone, the Gemara says, who you learn most Torah from. It's he's the one, you've been in the Shia for 25 years, he taught you everything. You gave the 99% of the entire Rova to Rasa, he wrote from us, you learn from this particular Rebbe. That's called a Rebbe Muvuk. A Rebbe She'ena Muvuk, or Talmud She'ena Muvuk, we sometimes use the term a Talmud Chaver, means he's like a more of a colleague than a Talmud, is someone who, yes, you learned from, and yes, he may be older than you, and yes, he may have learned a little bit more from him, but Lamaise is not your Rebbe Muvuk. You have not learned Rov Tarase from him. So there are differences in halacha in the realm of Vilchus Kavod and other areas of halacha between a Rebbe Muvuk and a Rebbe She'ena Muvuk. And usually we define a Rebbe Muvuk as being someone who you learned most of your Torah from, a Rebbe She'ena Muvuk, or a Talmud Chaver, or someone who did not learn most of your Torah from. So come to Rishonim now and have a major machlokes about this prohibition of paskening shilas in the presence of one's Rebbe. So what kind of Rebbe are we talking about? Are we talking about a Rebbe Muvuk? Are we talking about a Rebbe She'ena Muvuk? So many Rishonim say it doesn't matter. That if he's a Rebbe, he's a Rebbe. It doesn't matter. You're in a shiur for 6 months, you're in a shiur for a week, you learn something from him, he's greater than you. It doesn't matter whether he's your formal, official, majority Rebbe. There's an Isser to be very lucky with fun of. And other Rishonim say no, but the Isser, real Isser, only applies with a Rebbe Muvuk. If we would be making on the Shaila, anyone knows the ramifications of being making on the Shaila? Assuming this would be mutter, I'm not saying it is or it's not, assuming this would be mutter, anyone have any ideas on the ramifications of this? Because not as yet, particularly.
Like, most of the rabbis in the Shul are most people, they're
Rebbe. Not only not the rabbis in the Shul, most people's rabbis, but do you have a Rebbe Muvuk? Can you point to one person you learn most of the Torah from?
No.
Very, very unlikely. Right? That anyone today is going to have a Rebbe Muvuk. Why do you think that's true? In the days of the Gemara was understood, there were Rabban Muvukim all the time. Everyone knows why Bizman is there. It's almost unheard of. Hi, he spoke about this today. He mentioned this part today. Okay, good. So, who is it Rabbi Shem saying today? Just, okay, so I can say whatever. Okay, he's my Rebbe then. I have to be careful with Gemara Halacha. So, in the olden days, I mean, prior to Rebbe Danossi, everything was Torah Shabbat Peh. So how in the world would a person learn Torah Shabbat Peh? Not from a Rebbe. If you don't have a Rebbe, what do? You're going to sit one day and say, okay, I'm going to meditate about Masechet Brachos. I don't know anything about Masechet Brachos. I'm going to hear from the Rebbe, what the Rebbe says about it. This man is there, you open up your Gemara. And you learn Masechet Brachos. So if you know how to read the Gemara, you read the Gemara. If you don't know how to read, so you get an art scroll, it helps you out a little bit. So who's your Rebbe Muvuk? The art scroll is your Rebbe Muvuk. Who's the Rebbe Muvuk? So the answer is, the Poskim writes that this man is there, it's almost unheard of to have a Rebbe Muvuk. However, there are some exceptions even to that. Sometimes we could conceive of Rabbanim Muvachim even as Manazer. How can we conceive of a Rebbe Muvuk as Manazer? I think one of two ways. So one possibility is something that the Rav suggested. What if you have a type of relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud where this Rebbe put you on your feet in terms of learning? It means he gave you a basis of learning. He started you off in learning. He taught you a Derech HaLimud. Now, in terms of how many words of Torah have you learned from, so I personally have learned more words of Torah from the Rambam than from this particular Rebbe. But it's this Rebbe, you told me how to read a Rambam. It's this Rebbe, you told me how to read a Gemara. He told me how to read a Tanya. He told me how to ask a question. He told me how to give an answer, how to give a chikir. He told me, he gave me the whole background of a Derech and Limud. So the Rav suggests that that by definition is considered to be a Rebbe Muvuk. The Rav actually said about himself, that Rav Shechtman recorded today about him and Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. He didn't say it. That the Rav said about himself that his Rebbe Muvuk was his father. For those who know a little bit about the history of the Rav, so the Rav was a little boy in Europe. So he was the Talmud of his father. So he learned by his father. So his father taught him. So now when the Rav was 80 years old, his father died 40 years before. So it's most probable that the Rav had learned already most of his Torah on his own, not from his father. But the Rav still considered his father to be his Rebbe Muvuk, because he felt that his father was the one who grounded him in learning, gave him a derech, was madrich him in learning, and therefore that by definition is considered to be a Rebbe Muvuk. So there may be a concept of a different type of Rebbe Muvuk, but the actual Rebbe Muvuk of the Gemara, the prototype of a person teaching Rav Chafos, is almost unheard of, as Bizman Hazeh. There may be another category of someone who's the equivalent of Rebbe Muvuk, Bizman Hazeh, and that is if you have a Gadol HaDor. So that's a unique category in Allah called the Gadol HaDor. Someone who is respected as one of the Gadol HaDor may have the status of a Rebbe Muvuk of all of Klal Yisrael. So this is based on a Tosfos. Tosfos writes, a very famous Gemara, one of the most famous Gemaras about the relationship between Talmidim and Rebbeim. There's a Gemara that appears in a few places, in Sanhedrin Pesachim, in Mekam, in Kedushin. The Gemara tells the following story. That there was an individual, it was one of the Tanoim, who was a colleague, contemporary of Rabbi Akiva, whose name was Shimon Hamsuni. Gemara says that there was actually Machlokes what his name was. Someone said his name was Shimon Hamsuni, someone said his name was Nechemi Hamsuni. Whoever he was, someone from Amsterdam, I guess it's the city of places. So this person, Shimon Hamsuni, Nechemi Hamsuni, he had a very unique Derech HaLibur. Anyone knows what it was? Esen. He used to darshan call Esen Shiva Torah. Precious Brolikim, Esen Shemaim. Es comes to include something. What's it including? I don't know. We'll go through each pasuk in Chumash. Es includes this, and Es includes this. And who's at the Kibra Meim Shir this morning? So remember, somebody asked me about step parents. So the Gemara says at the end of Ksubis, how do you know you have to give kavod to your step parents? Kavod es avicha, es the rabbos, es the avicha. Kavod es im vi es inecha, so es the rabbos, bali mecha. What's the vav kavod to Marav? Anyone know? A brother, an older brother. You might not say sister. It's a shayla poskim. At least an older brother. So don't tell your older sister that. So comes the Shimon Hamsuni, the Chemi Hamsuni, and says that anytime it says es, so this is Rasha. So he was going strong. He was on a roll for the entire chumash. Starts with Brachos, and he's rolling until he gets the pashas of Eschanan or Akim. I've got it. Which pasuk? He gets into trouble. Which pasuk gave him trouble? Es Hashem Kechatira. Es is coming to be marbe. You're supposed to not only you have to fear the Rebbe Shalom, you should fear somebody else. Also, it's blasphemous. I think you have to fear somebody else. So Shimon Hamsuni, Nechemi Hamsuni, got into trouble. He was here for the last 22 years. He had been darshaning all these essays and everything. And now he got to a pasuk that disproved his entire Derech HaLimud. So if you were saying this year, what would you do at that point? If you had just been teaching for 22 years, you had thousands of Talmidim, and you had developed this whole unique Derech HaLimud, and now you just realize that it's all wrong. What would you do? Yeah, you'd probably fumble a little bit and say, S here probably means something also. And you'd probably just give some kind of a dray answer and say, it's not a good cash, let's move on to the next one. You would be so embarrassed, you'd be devastated that you lost your whole credibility. So you just probably just fudge the truth a little bit. That's what most people would do. So Shimon Hamsuni was such an Isha Emes, but he says, no. Kishem shekibalti schar ala drisha, kachakabal schar ala prisha. The same way that the Rebbe Shalom gave me reward for dashing for the last 22 years, all the Esim, he'll give me reward now for stopping dashing the Esim. Chemi Hamsuni was such an Isha Emes that even if it meant his whole reputation just went down the tubes, he was honesty and integrity and intellectual honesty in terms of learning comes first and foremost. It's famous stories about the Rav, that famous Maisa, that the Rav once said something in Shir. And one of the Tamidim, the Rav developed this whole Yisoid, a fancy Brisket for 2 hours, Gevaldik Yisoid. And one of the Tamidim in the back, a young Talmud, asked the question, and the Rav realized, Gevald, this question is not such a stark question. It totally knocks down the whole job. So sometimes I'm not as Ishan Emes as the Rav. So I'm saying a Shia, I ask the question. I don't want to throw the whole Shia, so I'll fumble a little bit. You know what I mean? So the Rav wouldn't do that. The Rav, I'm not justifying around the hoops in the Yitzhara. So the Rav said, no. The Talmud asked the question. So the way the story goes is the Rav had his notes that he had written prepared for that shiur. So in front of 100 Talmidim, after 3 hours of sweating and saying over the social Torah, took the notes, looked at the pieces, and told everybody shiur's over today, go. Everyone leave. He has nothing else to say. Wow. That's intellectual honesty. That's Shimon Hamsuni. So the story doesn't end here. When Rabbi Akiva heard this, so Rabbi Akiva said, no, I'm going to save Shimon Hamsuni. Have a drasha. Es Hashem lekechatira. The rabbos what? The rabbos. Who? The rabbos tamir chacham. That's the lashon of the Gemara. Es Hashem lekechatira. The rabbos tamir chacham. There's a mitzvah of meira. A person has to have a fear and awe for tamir chacham. The way the Bali Musa says, a little bit of a humorous pshat in the Gemara, but there is a certain degree of emes to it, even if it's not fully pshat in the Gemara. So the Bali Musa say that. How come Rabbi Akiva dashed in this pasuk now? All of a sudden, so he had been in business of dashing for years. All of a sudden, he came up with this rationale. So the Bali Musa say that when Rabbi Akiva saw what a level of Tamil Chacham Shimon Hamsuni was, that not only was he a Tamil Chacham, but he was such an Isha Emes, so he realized for such a person, as a Shavu Kechatira, the Rabbis Tamil Chachamim. So with Tamil Chacham of the stature of Shimon Hamsuni, is such an honest person, for him, as a Shavu Kechatira, the Rabbis Tamil Chacham. Again, I don't think that's a pshat in the Gemara, but it's a nice word anyway. So getting back to the story. So Rabbi Akiva taught us a Chiddush, and we pass Rabbi Akiva, as a Shavu Kechatira, the Rabbis Tamil Chachamim. Comes to Isis and says, really? Person is mechuyif to have moir for every time chacham he sees on the street. Doesn't sound that way. The Mishnah Prokhyeva says, "Yemor rabcha kemor shemayim." The moir of your rabbi should be like the moir of your Rebbe Shalom. Doesn't say "Yemor tamid chacham kemor shemayim." So says Taisus, The din of Mora only applies to a Rebbe. And what's the definition of a Rebbe, Rabbi say? A Rebbe Mubak. And then Taisus dwells in one line. Taisus says, Ura Gol Ador. Says Taisus, a Gol Ador, that's the Rebbe of all of Klal Yisrael. So that by definition is considered to be a Rebbe Mubak. And therefore, I love Ne'amar Hashem L'kecha, Tivra L'Rab, Tamir Chachamim. So Taisus just told us something interesting. Taisus told us we now have three different types of Rebbe Mubaks. So you have classic Rebbe Mubak, who's literally, you know, in terms of amount of Torah, in terms of percentage of Torah, he's the one who teaches both Torah. So that's for sure Rebbe Mubak. That's the standard definition of Rebbe Mubak. Then you have the Ravs, in a sense, elaborated upon his definition, that even if he doesn't quantitatively teach you most of the Torah, if he, in a sense, qualitatively teaches you most of the Torah by putting you on the right derech, that's also called the Rebbe Mubak. Then you have Taisa's understanding of Rabbi Mubak, that he can be neither of the two, but he's a Gadlador, the Gadlador, the Pesach Gadlador. He, by definition, is considered to be the Rabbi Mubak of the entire generation. And some of the reason is his Pesach of Afet, everybody. Anyone knows, just parenthetically, before we get back to the Halach Zemar Halach of a Rabbi, is there any difference? Taisa says that a regular Tam Chach, we don't have to show Maritu. You have to show cover to him. It's a mitzvah to get up for regular Talmud Chacham. Also, you have to stand up in the Talmud Chacham, walk in the room, even if it's not your Rebbe. But Murray, you don't have to show. You only have to show Moira for a Rebbe Mubak. Anyone knows what's the difference? You have to show respect for a Talmud Chacham. You have to show Moira for a Rebbe. What does Moira add above and beyond what cover is? What? Right, besides fear, besides literal fear and awe. So there's an interesting Gemara in Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says that when a regular Talmid Chacham walks into the room, when do you have to stand up? How close does he have to get to you? So the Gemara says, Mikra Din only within Dalal Amos. We get up once he walks into the room, maybe for other reasons, but technically speaking, I'm sitting on the park bench and then a rabbi walks by, if it's not within Dalal Amos, I'm not supposed to get up. Anyone know why? But I'm not supposed to get up. So the Gemara says that the Pasuk tells us, Mifnei Seva Tocham Radar Tepnei Zochin. You have to get up for older people, you have to get up for the Zakenim, for the Tamil Chachamim. It has to be for Hadar to Pnei Zochin. What does Hadar to mean? To beautify, to adore, to honor. So only a Kima Shiyesh Pahidur, if by getting up it's clear that I'm getting up as a sign of respect, then I get up. If I'm getting up and no one knows why I'm getting up, there's a rabbi who's 600 feet down there, nobody realizes I'm jumping to attention because he's standing there. So that's not a mitzvah, there's no mitzvah getting up for Tamchach under those circumstances. Comes the Gemara condition and says, but if it's a Rebbe Mubak, you can Kimua Einav. If you see him from 10 miles away, you have to immediately jump to attention. Why the difference? So according to Taisus, it makes a lot of sense. Because to get up for a regular Talmid Chacham is only a mitzvah of what? It's a mitzvah of covenant, a mitzvah of Hidur. So Hidur has to be an expression of Hidur. To get up for a Rebbe Mubak, that's really a din of Moira. It's a different halacha. Moira has its own rules. It's different from Hidur. So getting back to our story in terms of defining Rabbanim Mufakim. So we have the standard definition of Rav Torah. So we have the Rav's definition of being Madrich in the Derech HaLimud. And we have Taisa's definition or additional definition of a Gol Hador. Do we have any other Rabbanim Mufakim as well as that? So you said correctly. Who could be a Rebbe Mubak as well as that? As strange as it may sound. You tell me you said it before. A Sefer. Svarim are Rabbanim Mufakim. Our Gemaras, our Shulchan Aruch, our Rambam, the Mishnah, they're our Rabbanim Mufakim. We never met them. We never met them physically, personally, but they're our Rabbanim Mufakim. So you have four different possible Rabbanim Mufakim as well as that. So now the question becomes, how does this play out in terms of the Halacha, in terms of the passing shahs and presence of Rabbanim Rebbe? So according to those Rishonim, say that you're not allowed to pass shahs, even if it's not a Rebbe Mufakim, then even as Man Azad, the Yis is going to be applied. So if you hold like those Rishonim who say that the Yis are passing shahs, is only in front of a Rebbe Mubak, so it's quite possible. We don't have Rabbanim Mubak, and most people do not have the classic Rebbe Mubak. Many people don't even have the Rav's Rebbe Mubak. Usually, if Rabbi Yashiv sitting here, I'm not going to be passing Shailas in his presence. Usually, the Gadol is not around when I'm passing Shailas. Our Svarim. So some Achranim write, that if a person is asked a Shaila, they're mechuyev to look it up in the Sefer. And if they don't look it up in the Sefer, it's like Meira Halacha b'fnei Rabbi. Pistachuba quotes such a chumra. Pistachuba quotes some Achranim say that. You must look the Shaila up in the Sefer. The minig amongst Rabbanim for today for sure and for many hundreds of years is not to follow that. that you're not to look up and say, if you know the answer, because you don't know the answer, you better, of course you better look it up. But if you know the answer, say, like somebody asked me a shayla, I had the same shayla 100 times already, I know the answer, I looked it up 100 times. I know the answer is, somebody asked me a shayla chmeis, and I'm allowed to put the soup back in the fire and chops it on. I know the Rambam already says you can't, and finish the discussion. So, the meaning amongst most Rabbanim is they wouldn't bother to re-look up the Rambam, but tell the guy, wait, I can't answer you, hold on, I gotta go whip out of Mishnah Berurah and the Gimel, make sure nothing changed in the last 500 years in that Rambam. Though most Rabbanim don't do that. Again, if it's a difficult shayla, then you should, of course you should look up and so on. So at the end of the day, we have two different possibilities to, in a sense, defend the practice, sometimes the passing shaylas, even though Rabbeim are present. So one possible defense is if the Rebbe's Meichel. How do I know the Rebbe's Meichel? So remember we mentioned in the previous year about Smicha. That Smicha means that the Rebbe's Meichel basically. When your Rebbe signs your Smicha for you, that means he's giving you permission to pass in Shilas. So that's one consideration, that the Rebbe's Meichel. Consideration number two is that sometimes he's not really a Rebbe. He's not really a Rebbe Mufak. So therefore, usually with the practice today is, even though the Gemara speaks about very strongly about not posketing in a Rebbe's presence, and the presence doesn't only mean literally in the same room, but even within several thousand feet of the Rebbe, may also be considered to be close to the Rebbe. Most people are not that mocked with his marazel. So you have, once a person is granted smich and he has permission to paskin, so even though his Rebbe may be around, his Rebbe is in the same town, Mokum Rabo, but very often the Talmud will paskin shaylas. If the Rebbe's mamash is standing there, somebody asks a shaila, and the Talmud jumps in, he says, oh, I'm going to answer the question, so then there are more rights. Even if it's a Rebbe in a movement, that's not appropriate, that's mamash chutzpah. So, if the Rebbe's mamash there, let the Rebbe answer the shaila. The Rebbe's not there, the Rebbe's busy, there are other things. So if it's a Rebbe in a movement anyway, and it's the Rebbe's moichel, so then the minute goyim is to be pretty make on a lot of these shaylas.
How do you define what the Gadol Hadar is?
Depends who defines. The Gadol Hadar is one who is accepted by significant segments of Klal Yisrael as being such. There was once a very unfortunate newspaper interview that took place in Rav Moshe, and I think it was must have been the New York Times, if I'm not mistaken. So it was the only time Rav Moshe ever spoke in the newspaper, first and last time. Moshe was interviewed many years ago. He was asked by the reporter. No problem. So apparently they asked Rav Moshe as to what did he do that he was zoicha to be the Pesach of Klal Yisrael. The non-Jewish world knew that he was the Pesach of Klal Yisrael. So what did he do to be zoicha to that? So Rav Moshe tried to explain again. He was probably speaking Yiddish as an interpreter. So Rav Moshe basically said that there's no like official vote as to who becomes the Pesach of Klal Yisrael. So it kind of happens over time. So Moshe said, you know, I people ask me questions, and I answer the questions, and then, you know, they're able to accept what I say, and then, you know, he tells a friend, and slowly but surely, you know, the word spreads, and that's basically how a pasuk comes into being. So in the article, apparently the next year, was written up in the New York Times, it said something along the following. It said that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein became the authoritative decider of Jewish law because he told people what they liked to hear. That's what he said. So that, of course, was a very gross misrepresentation of what Moshe said. That sounds chas v'shalom that a rabbi, you know, if you give a good, nice kula, so then people like you. So that's that. We don't present halacha like that. A rebbe has to paskin, a rabbi has to paskin what he thinks is the emes. If it's a kula, it's a kula. If it's a chumra, it's a chumra. But you don't become. It's not a popularity contest. You try to become popular by giving more and more kulas. So Moshe said after that, he would never speak to the reporters anymore. Anyway, getting back to this story. So. I forgot how to get into the sort of Russian Christmas. What's distracted? Yeah. Oh yeah, who's the girl Ador? Who's the girl Ador? So the answer is the girl Ador is someone, the Gedolei Ador, not necessarily a single girl Ador, the Gedolei Ador are people who were accepted by segments of Klal Yisrael as being the Gedolim. There are many Gedolim who are not accepted by other segments of Klal Yisrael. Okay, but I'm saying if you're accepted by a valid segment of Klal Yisrael as being such, that becomes in effect one of the Gedolei Ador. So getting back to that story in terms of passing Shah Shlomo Fnei Rabo. So on the one hand, Chazal speaking very, very harsh terms about people who pass in Shlomo Fnei Rabo. On the other hand, we saw that there are some Rishonim who make a little Mechila, the Rebbe's Meichel, the other Rishonim make a little Rebbe's Mupok, and again, all the details of this halacha that we spoke about. But there's an important question that we have to analyze whenever we deal with these issues of passing in Shailas in presence of Rebbeim, passing in Shailas in general. What constitutes a psach halacha? What exactly does it mean to pasuk in a shaila? You know, all the shiur that we're giving, all revolving around Torah Shabbat Peh and the whole Masorah process, and psach halacha is such a major integral part of that process. What does it mean to pasuk in a shaila? What do the words mean? If I ask you the following question, I say to you, tell me, what time is Lech Benching this week? And you look up at the calendar and you say, Lech Benching is 7:20. So you just pasuk in a shaila? That's a psach halacha. There's also a famous story from Ramesh that used to be a woman who would call Ramesh every single week to ask what time Lech Benching was. So week in, week out, she called the girl Lador, find out what time to light candles. So somebody asked Ramesh, why don't you just buy her a calendar? And she won't bother you anymore. So Ramesh said, no, you don't understand. He said, but this woman, this is our connection to Torah. This is our connection to her Rav. So it's important for her to call me every week. There's a God, there's a Ramesh. So what constitutes a psak in halacha? So there is a category that the Gemara speaks about, which is in a sense like a zil kar beravu, something which is so poshut, something which is so obvious that you look at the pasuk. Let's say the marshal, I ask you the following question. I ask you, Rabbi, am I allowed to eat chametz on Pesach? So you answer, no, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. That was a psak halacha. You open a parsha's bow and it says, well, you're chametz, you're not allowed to eat chametz on Pesach. Eat chametz on Pesach, chayv karis. So that's a psak. Well, let's say, I say to you, Rabbi, am I supposed to affix a mezuzah to my house or not? So you answer, yes, you're mechuyav to prove a mezuzah. Uchsaf to my mezuzah b'sech v'sherechetz. Ha poskim chumer zu kar be'rav. So the poskim discuss what's called the dover ha-mefurish b'psukim, something which is so plain, something which is so obvious, which is so explicit in the psukim itself. So that's not technically really considered to be a psak halacha for these purposes. There's an interesting Ramah, you know, it's not in different contexts, but Ramah writes that sometimes you have something which is not a davar mafurash b'psukim, but it's a davar mafurash b'poskim. It means it's so obvious that everybody knows this halacha. It's the Mishnebura, the Yerucha Shulchan, and Ramosh, and the Rav, every place like, from less than a year says the same thing. A davar mafurash b'poskim. So the Ramah seems to say that that's also not considered to be a horah. That's not considered to be really like a pasketing a shayla. So that's a question, whether the Ramah really said it. It's somewhat questionable. A lot of this discussion as to where do you draw the line, what's considered to be a psach, what's not considered to be a psach, revolves around the Gemara in Maseches Ksubas, other places has the following lashon. The Gemara says that a person should be very careful not to pass in a shaila in the Rebbe's presence, afilu be'asa b'kuscha, even such a simple shaila as an egg. What does the kuscha mean, anyone know? Kusach is a milk dish. The Gemara Pesachim says it was made up of three ingredients. It's made of spoiled milk, salt, and stale bread. That's what the Gemara describes. It sounds delicious. It was some kind of a dip, like a yogurt kind of a dip. So the Gemara says, you have the following shaila. Am I allowed to eat an egg with milk? Am I allowed to dip an egg into sour cream? Am I allowed to dip an egg into a yogurt? So if somebody asks you that shaila and your Rebbe is around, you shouldn't answer the shaila. So the Rishonim say, well, what's the shaila exactly? An egg with milk? What's even the latest of suffix? So Tosfos says there are two ways to read Pshat in this Gemara. So either you can read Pshat in the Gemara, a guy is asking the following shaila: is an egg parva, or maybe an egg is what? That's just maybe an egg's fleshix. Why should an egg be fleshix? Because it came from a chicken. So maybe an egg. Every egg is fleshix. Anu chumri can eat eggs during the 9 days. Every egg is fleshix. So comes Tosfos and says, is that what the Gemara means? Rabbi Shugan is coming with the shaila and saying, yeah, Rabbi, am I allowed to eat an egg with milchix? So Tosfos says that's ridiculous. Tosfos says that shaila is so obvious. The shaila is so poshut. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry knows, every practicing Jew, anyone who's a little bit observant, any shape or form knows that egg is parva. Says, that's not a psak halacha. And you're allowed to answer that in front of your Rebbe, that's not a bizarre. And the Rebbe, and you don't need to have the shmai for that. A dovra mufurish b'halacha, it's so obvious, it's so simple, everybody knows that. That's not called passing in the shah. So what's pshat in the Gemara? Says, Tosas, pshat in the Gemara is like this. I shech the hen, I open up the hen, and lo and behold, what do I find inside? I find an egg. Is that egg milk? I'm sorry, is that egg fleshy? So is that egg parva? Anyone know? That's a posh. It depends if it's a nigma or not nigma. Was it completed? Was it nez? Is it ready to be hatched? Not ready. How complicated sugi in the beginning of beta. Is that egg fleshy or not? So Taisa says that's what the Gemara means. If somebody asks you such as Ashayla, which it's a fairly simple Shayla, because learned sugi, it's not the most complicated Shayla, but at least there's something to it. At least there's some kind of an umph to it. There's some kind of a lumdus to it. So then you're not allowed to be matir the Makom Rabba. But if it's something which is just so obvious, it's a chamamish. Any person in the world knows that you're not allowed to do this, or you are allowed to do this. Taisa claims that's called the Psak Halacha. And there are others who disagree with Tosfos. There are other Rishonim who say the Gemara means Kipshuto. Because a person is not allowed to pass in anything at all, zero, in the presence of his Rebbe, even Be'ezav Kosla, even something as simple as an egg parva or not, that everyone in the world knows, even that you're not supposed to pass in. So again, so the guidelines as to what's considered to be a psak halacha are now going to become important. After all, we're saying Mayor Halacha Fei Rava was such a terrible violation, we have to be so careful about that. But we're not sure exactly what's called Mayor Halacha. If it's something very, very simple, is that called Mayor Halacha? It's not called Mayor Halacha.
Would there not be like a concept of thinking that, like usually like the rabbin and your kind would be like very high people who like,
who acting
like
a vice, so
you think that if Rebbe has a Talmud
who's
like, you know,
passing
in front of him, you think that he'd like get like
nachas
from seeing it instead of like
wanting to do it. The Gemara says that a Rebbe is never jealous of his Talmud. But we want to uphold number one of the Talmud's vantage point, we want to uphold the covenant of Rab. We also want to uphold the Siyat Dishmai that the Psach should be correct. So we don't, you know, it may be very nice, you know, it's like the Gemara says that a person is never jealous of the child, never be jealous of the Talmud. So why is that, by the way? Anyone know why? Why is that the people are not jealous of the children? Nobody's ever jealous of the children. People always want the children to suppress them. Huh? You're never jealous of yourself. No one's ever jealous of themselves. Can you imagine, my left hand is jealous and my right hand is stronger. Right? Why? Jealousy means when there's a separate entity. So I'm jealous of my friend, I'm jealous of my neighbor, I'm jealous of my colleague at work. He got a better position than me, he has a nice house, he has a better car than me. So people are jealous of others and never jealous of themselves. There are two relationships that exist that a person's child and a person's Talmud is supposed to be. It's not much like you. It's an extension, either physical or a spiritual extension of yourself. The same way I'm not jealous of my own success, I'm not jealous of my son's success. So, my son Menachem is a good chess player. He didn't play anybody, he challenged him the summer. He's a good chess player. So, who taught him how to play chess? I taught him how to play chess, but I'm not such a good chess player. So, when he was 6 years old, so I taught him the basics, you know, a little bit how to play chess. By now, he wipes me. By now, I can't keep up with him. So, do I feel bad that he beats me in chess? I don't feel bad at all. I'm very happy. It gives me nachas. Every time I play and he beats me, it gives me tremendous nachas. I have to sit, but even give me more nachas. I have to sit for 20 minutes in each move to think through it. Every cheshbon. And he, like that, and he still beats me. So, Baruch Hashem. So, those kinds of things, the Rebbe would say, great, nothing to lose. Chess game, right? So, it's wonderful. Let the Talmud surpass the Rebbe. Let the child surpass the father. However, I have to be honest that if Meirachim started passing Shalas now, I'm not so sure I'd be so happy about that. So, he's not qualified yet to pass Shalas. Maybe someday, hopefully, he will be. But right now, he's not qualified. So it's very nice. You know, the Rebbe wants the Talmud to grade his covet, so to speak, to the Rebbe. Talmud's passing. When the Talmud's ready, when the Talmud's going to reach that Siyad Dishmaya, if he's not going to have a Siyad Dishmaya from Makom Rabo, then forget, the Rebbe would probably not want him to do Tassim Shas.
Well, would it be a design, I guess, to the Rebbe if, let's say, the Rebbe's not able to Paskin anymore?
You mean he's too old that he doesn't remember anymore?
He doesn't remember it, or he's just not like...
That's not really from Makom Rabo anymore, said the Rebbe.
No, he's not like, he just doesn't exactly know what's going on.
Yeah, so the Gemara says that you have to always be very careful about a Talmid Chacham who forgot his learning. The Gemara gives a mashal. The Gemara says that in the Aron, in the Beis Hamikdash, the two things. There was the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos. So the second set of Luchos, and the broken pieces of the first set of Luchos. Why do you need the broken pieces of the first? They weren't functioning anyway. So the Gemara says that's a mashal to a Talmid Chacham who forgot his learning. That since the first set of Luchos were once Kadosh, so even though right now Nebuch they're broken to smash the smithereens, doesn't matter, that you have to give him the proper respect. So you have to give the utmost respect for Talmid Chacham, even though he forgot his learning. You give him the utmost respect, yes, but don't ask him shailas. He's not qualified to pass. He's not qualified to pass him right now. That's what Rav Moshe once apparently said, that somebody asked him a shaila, said he couldn't remember a certain marmokom, so he threw into question whether he should continue paskening. He said so much of his psachalach was based on his memory, so when he felt in the later years that his memory was starting to fail him, he was very nervous to continue to pasken shailas. So of course, at Talmid Chacham, each person has to know themselves. Havel, a person reaches the age, they can't drive anymore, so they have to realize it themselves. If they don't realize it, then other people better realize it for them. So the same is true for Talmid Chacham, that either he has to realize it himself, or if he doesn't realize it, so other people have to realize it for him. They shouldn't present him with shyness. Okay, so again, so we gave a little bit of an overview tonight of this idea of paskening shyness, what's considered to be a psak of shyness, what's considered to be a rebbe for these purposes. So we'll talk a little bit more tomorrow night about some other aspects in terms of psak halach, and we'll try to tie up some of the loose ends at the beginning of next week in terms of some of these things. Okay. Mm-hmm.